Hi, Dominique. Welcome to another edition of The Week Ahead. Sorry that I missed you yesterday. Sorry, last week. How are you doing?
I'm getting ready for another Californian atmospheric river and
Right.
trying to stay dry.
It's I we were discussing is it's been raining for like pretty much nonstop for 2 months in London. So although the sun is a little bit out today, so there's some surprising sunshine here.
Well,
Let's see if you can bring some
in London,
sunshine to our clients.
it's part of the deal in your part of the world. It's not part of the deal where I live, so.
Exactly. You should be having Aperol spritz on the beach.
I will eventually.
Yes. Okay, cool. Let's dive right into the market moving events, data. Obviously, there's some interesting stuff come out this past week. How markets are moving, how you see the Fed, obviously the US government. In general, what's your takes from last week?
Well, my take for last week in terms of the Fed is that they are very much hyper data driven, to quote Claudia Sam. By the way, this was a great podcast we had. So, we had a bump in inflation in January, and so the Fed has gone all hawkish on us. I felt that even the minutes were more hawkish than the presser. So, they've all been singing from the same hymn sheets. We need more good data. At the same time, we can really see the very different communication styles within the FOMC. You have someone like Governor Waller, who is really giving us a blow-by-blow account of the data, his reaction. On the other hand, we have Vice Chair Jefferson, Governor Cook, who give us very academic, very removed from the data narrative. But the bottom line is Fed has announced a switch to an easing bias just when inflation went up. So they are not about to change the bias. The thing the Fed dislikes more than high inflation is losing control of the narrative. But they are hoping that the next data print is better than the last one.
Okay, and how have you seen the recent data prints, say from last week, or last 2 weeks?
So, I mean, my
Has the
view.
narrative ch fundamentally changed back to we should be concerned about higher inflation?
I don't think we have enough data to make that call. My view has been for some time that we've had 2 years of very fast disinflation, about, I think, 1.3 percentage point decline in core PCE per year. And now we are going to switch to the so-called second mile, which is exactly the thing that happened after the oil shocks of the 70s. And so I was expecting disinflation to slow. January, yeah, it was a bit of a nasty surprise. But again, I mean, if you look at indicators such as current account, which is basically the savings investment balance in the US economy, it's improving, which is telling you that resource pressure are getting weaker, which is exactly what you need for disinflation to continue. Also, if you look at the Taylor rules, the Fed is well above most estimate of the Taylor rule, which suggests that it has a fairly restrictive stance. So those things together make me feel that we can still expect this inflation to continue and a cut. What would make me change my mind, and I've written about this week, is the signs of overheating. Like, we have a weird mixed bag of data, where on the one hand we have a budget deficit of 6% of GDP, which is enormous, given how low unemployment is. But it's not getting worse. It's not going to get better either. We have a super low.
And sorry, just on that, of that 6%, how much is because some of the spending is just, well, I guess it should be coming down. I was saying some of the spending is like indexed to inflation, and that's just a rule. And or how much of that 6% is just higher kind of treasury payment, bond payments?
So for sure, interest payments as a share of expenditures have gone up, but the bottom line is still, when you have a deficit, you are borrowing money. So whether the money is borrowed for interest payment or transfer payments or subsidies to manufacturers, which I think is a big driver of what is going on, it makes no difference. As a government, you are still borrowing to add demand into the economy. Basically, I think what we are, the large deficit we are seeing is a combination of higher inflation and indexation, as well as
Yes,
all
indexation.
the laws. We've had the CHIPS Act, the Infrastructure Act, the Inflation Reduction Act. I mean, we are pouring gobs of money into the manufacturing sector, and for sure, I mean that's what the numbers are showing.
So, which I guess makes sense. So if the government is giving, let's say the government's giving $200 billion of low-cost loans or
Subsidies.
subsidies to create U.S. manufacturing or specifically chips or, so that's even though I guess in theory the companies could pay it back, it's still viewed as spending as part of that 6%.
Well, it is spending, and it's spending that was decided in 2021, 22, 23. And if you look at the data, you've had a doubling since 2022 of construction of manufacturing facilities. And to me, the concern is that you've had a huge increase in construction, but no increase in equipment, no increase in manufacturing employment. Which means the full impact of the subsidies on demand, on business spending has yet to come through. Because when all these magnificent foundries will be built, you'll need to buy the equipment to put inside. You'll need to hire the workers. And so that's going to put pressure on the economy. And what's keeping the economy from overheating at the moment really is two things. One, profits as a share of income are close to the historical high. And as you know, the propensity to spend out of profit is much less than out of wages. So
Yeah.
that's helping to cool the economy. And the other thing is that so far, the recovery in residential investment has been really anemic. But if this thing changes, the economy could easily slide into overheating, and that's when I would change
That's what you're looking
my
at, yeah.
view. But we are
And
not there.
then obviously as this manufacturing projects get completed, and yes, they'll need workers to man it and equipment to kind of I guess further build it out. But they also will be producing something. So that should add supply on whatever the finished product is.
Fair enough. And that's a really interesting point, because look at what is happening to EVs. We've had gobs of subsidy every administration. I think even the Trump administration did not end the subsidies for EVs. And guess what? We have a surplus. We have a few startups that are exiting the market. The established players are losing money on EVs. I mean, the bottom line is that the administration is engaging in very old-fashioned industrial policy, and the long-term benefits to me are very unclear. For the moment, it is certainly putting pressure on the economy.
Yes.
So, we'll see.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, cool. Any other market takeaways, how equities, fixed income has been moving that surprise or think that people may be missing? Any interesting
Well,
conversations with our clients that really stood out the past week? And that looks like
sure.
it's always one, so.
So, I mean, the Fed turning hawkish could also be because of a higher short-term break-even. It's really hard to know where exactly the Fed stands on inflation expectations. Sometimes I tell you I like survey-based more than market-based. It tends to change relative to the performance of each. But for sure, there has been a move in 2-year bees, and that could be together with the bad January data, that could be why the Fed is turning hawkish. Other than that, the PCE was pretty much we knew what it was going to be because of the PPIs. There was no sort of na nasty surprise. The next big thing is going to be the NFP. But for this week, surprises were relatively few. I mean, we saw the Atlanta Fed GDP move up and then down, but not right now it stands at 3%, and that's definitely too hot for the Fed.
Segue into the upcoming week. I guess you touched on it. Obviously, payrolls would be the big one. So, yeah, what's your take on the
So,
upcoming data?
payroll, I disagree with the consensus. I think they have about 190 headline. I think it's too low. There's no question that the 300 we got last month is going to be revised down. It's such an outlier. I think the market is a little too optimistic on the cooling of the job market. But the more important data is not the headline NFP, it's the wages, right? Because the one thing the Fed wants to see is the broadening of disinflation from goods to services, especially super core services.
Yeah.
And they think, and I agree, that it's super core is driven by wages. We've had 3 months of fast wage growth, 40 basis points 2 months in a row, and then 60 basis points last month. The market is expecting 20 basis points. I think it's going to be more than that, given that we were at 60. I'm still thinking that what we are seeing is a catch up for the couple of years when real wage growth was negative. Rather than a long-term trend, but going from 60 to 20 basis points seems to me very optimistic.
Okay. Okay, cool. We'll also have to check on Sam's model prediction as well.
Definitely. Though Sam's is more about the headline NFP than the wage, but absolutely. And by the way, the other thing we should mention is a testimony to Congress that we will get from Chair Powell. But again, I mean, not we won't get any new news. I think Chair Powell is going to tell us that he doesn't need better data, but he needs more good inflation data. Basically, the Fed has been spooked by the January inflation, and they need a few months of cooler data to feel reassured that, indeed they made the right call in deciding to switch to an easing bias.
Okay, awesome. Anything else that clients should be thinking about?
So in terms of politics, we have Super Tuesday, where about 30% of the delegates for each convention will be picked. So I'm talking about the primaries here. No, there is no doubt on the outcome, but what to watch for is on the Democratic side, a protest vote against Biden, which we saw was quite strong in the Michigan primary. And as you know, the reason we are talking so much about the election and so early is because the macro regime is very likely to be drastically different if we have Trump than if we have, Biden. So watch out for the protest vote. We will also have the State of the Union address on Wednesday. I believe this is a yearly speech to a joint session of Congress. It gets televised. It's a big thing. I'm not sure there will be anything new or substantial there.
But I guess it's a way from Biden, right?
Yes.
So I guess it's a way that maybe the public can view. Obviously, there's been questions, particularly the last 2 or 3 months, about his full capabilities, and I'm sure the press will be commenting on how he, not just what he says, but how he delivers it. And that could also be viewed as some potential impact in the future battle between him and Trump, or the potentially increasing calls for a different Democrat to enter the race, or be handed over to him.
Oh, definitely. I will be publishing my election monitors this
Yeah,
week.
awesome.
I can give you a preview. President Biden's chances are not improving.
Right. Which is surprising, like, because you traditionally would say stock market's strong, unemployment is super low. Okay, inflation's still high-ish, but it's kind of stable. If you just looked at those kind of factors, the incumbent would normally be in a good position.
Actually, Nate Silver has a blog post on this. And finally, someone who agrees with me, if you need to also look at wages. Real wages have been falling for a couple of years. If you read the Fed own surveys, they show families have been struggling. And in my view, that's a big reason why the administration is getting such poor rating. And Nate Silver did a really very convincing rundown of that in a blog.
Yeah. Well, I guess there was a point where a year ago or a year and a half ago where everyone was questioning that profit margins are so high, labor's back, the power is going to start shifting back to wait, to workers, and that those margins are going to narrow, and the buying power, real wages will go up significantly, but I guess it hasn't really happened, right?
Yes and no. It hasn't happened through economic markets, but I think it well may happen through political markets in the sense that to me, the strong popularity of Trump reflects just that people are unhappy with the income distribution, really frustrated. And what they cannot get through the labor market, they are trying to get through politics. Now, whether this is a wise choice and whether, those families that are hurting will be better off under Trump, I'm not sure. But that's how I read the current politics.
Yes, I would agree with that. I would agree that that is a trend that's happening, whether it's right or not. That's, but it is happening, and there's many people in America that view life under Trump as being more fair, more beneficial to them, whether we agree or not is a different story. Okay, awesome. I'll quickly just highlight some of the pieces from the past week. Again, this is probably more for our pro users, and if people are listening to this on YouTube, please, and you want to learn more, you work at a financial institution, or even if you have part of a family office, you can contact me, andrew.simon@macrohive.com, and happy to share some information about our professional product. But some of the stuff, obviously, we focus a lot on trade ideas, on models, continuing, Richard and the guys continuing, and Ben, the long Euro Swiss. That we are somewhat moving up our stop, but that trade's been working very well. And I wasn't so sure about it. I have to say that those guys have been right. And again, it's really been on a very on a series of very solid fundamental factors of where the idea came from, and that's been working quite well. This piece I haven't got a chance to, just came out today, the Bilal's Macroscope, which he actually did this week, along with Varesh, who's our commodity analyst and just very well respected all-around analyst, is based out of the Middle East. So together they're looking at equity performance split by rate sensitive and rate agnostic stocks. Because often the obviously people look at the higher rates say in the US, negative for stocks, but there's many different factors or different types of underlying companies, or could even be obviously benefit banks would be an example, or just tech in many ways, certainly like long-term significant cash free cash flow producing companies, it's not as big of an issue. Again, like our momentum model is actually turning bullish on the euro and sterling. I mean, we in our model portfolio have been bearish euro and sterling, to be fair. FX vol is just getting crushed, and the range has been extremely tight, but that's certainly something interesting to look at. So I think on the back of that, and coincidentally, we've gotten bullish on some of the high beta, high yielding EMFX stocks from Mirza and Bilal and Caroline. And there, I think that's quite an interesting trade. And I think if you want to play solid risk, kind of neutral on the dollar type trade, that's a very interesting trade. Again, we've got a lot of great feedback on the continued build out from Mirza and Liang Ding, on all the focus on China, and they're really kind of in depth. And I think kind of, I don't want to say out of consensus, but definitely stuff I think you wouldn't read at a lot of the other kind of research houses, takes on China. There's some great pieces on China, the Henry's PCA model, developed market PCA model. Again, some interesting trades. Those models, if it continued to perform very well, and a whole lot more this past week. I guess on the rate side, we continue to generally favor short US duration trades. And so that stuff we're kind of still looking out for. But this coming week, especially payrolls, could be an interesting turning point. But I guess if it comes up, I guess worse on both fronts than the street's thinking, that should work out pretty well for our trades. So thank you, Dominique. Thank you for everyone listening for this. We may try a little bit of another format if we can get it all organized and have Henry actually come in and join Dominique and I, and also add in a focus on Europe. Plus, it'd be great to get his views, and we always get fantastic feedback on Henry's views. But I think somebody else had brought up, Antonio had brought up, is it is interesting to also hear the US and European views kind of side by side, and also understand that obviously there's interesting high correlation themes that play out in kind of both areas. And then there's other things that kind of break down for a variety of even structural reasons. So that I think would be interesting for our clients and everyone listening. So good luck everyone for this upcoming week. And our last, any parting words, Dominique?
Good luck, everybody. Thank you for listening, and please keep sending in the feedback, especially negative feedback. Very helpful. Thank
Awesome.
you.
Agreed. Okay, cool. Thank you, everybody. Goodbye.